wonderful singing as well. Amen. We appreciate that. The book of Luke, chapter 23. Having found that place, I'm going to ask you to stand with us. The book of Luke, chapter 23. I want to begin reading this morning with verse number 50. And behold, there is a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it into a sepulcher and that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. They returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you, when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Amen. And they remembered his words. Amen. 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 This morning we're going to look at these verses just as much as the Lord would let us with his help this morning. I want to think on some things they didn't find that morning. Father, we thank you for the blessings of the day, for the opportunity to serve you, for a wonderful Sunday school lesson. God, for the opportunity to hear a wonderful choir sing with power. God, we thank you for special singing for the young people. We thank you for them. We pray, God, you'd bless each and every one that's come this way today. Now, Father, I realize there's no way that I could stand before this people today and feed them. But God, I know that you're able. God, I pray today, Father, that you would take our weary bodies and use them. Use it, use our words, Father, for your glory. I pray, Father, you'd fill us with the Holy Ghost and help us to preach today, God, as you would preach us. I pray, God, you'd use your word to prevail and give victory and triumph in this service today for someone who may be weary, for someone that needs encouragement, for someone that needs help today, maybe for some sin-sick soul that needs salvation, I pray, God, for the work of God to be done and demonstrated in this house on this day, for it's in Christ that we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter number 24, And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Now here are these ladies as they've been there. They've saw how Joseph of Arimathea has taken down the body of Jesus and how he's wrapped it in linen and how he's laid it in a sepulcher. How that was hewn in stone wherein no man had ever been laid before. And the Bible says those women came with him from Galilee and followed after and they beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe that when them women got up that morning and went down to the sepulcher, they think they went to the wrong sepulcher. They said it was foggy and they was confused and they went to the wrong place. And I want to say to you, they loved Jesus. And they beheld how Joseph of Arimathea wrapped up that body and laid it in that certain sepulcher. And I'm telling you, a woman don't forget. Amen, fellas?
Amen.
She ain't gonna forget. Amen. She went to the right sepulcher. And I want to say, there's some things they did find that morning. Those women found the sepulcher where Jesus had been laid. They knew that was the place that they'd entombed the body of Christ and placed it in that grave, in that cemetery, in that sepulcher. They found that specific place. Number two, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They remembered how the guards had put the stone in front of the sepulcher and how they'd set a watch there. They remembered all that. And early that first Sunday morning, they found the stone had been rolled away. Not only that, but they found the shining testimony of the angels. The Bible says it came to pass in verse 4, they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. The women had found the sepulcher. They'd found the stone rolled away. And now they found the shining angels' testimonies. And the words that they said was, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." What a wonderful testimony to have heard early that Sunday morning. I believe also what we didn't read here in Luke, we find in the book of Matthew that they found some shaken guards. Number four, they found some shaken guards. The Bible says when the angel came and the stone was rolled away, that the keepers or the guards became as dead men. Amen. They beheld what had happened and couldn't believe it. So fearful and astonished, they became, the Bible says, like dead men. All four of these things the women found. They found the sepulcher. They found the stone rolled away. They found the shining testimony of the angels. They found the shaken guards. But there's some important things that they didn't find. And it's found in verse number 3. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. There's some things they found, but I'm glad, hallelujah, there's some things they didn't find. Amen. They knew the body of Christ had been placed in that tomb. But now, hallelujah, the body has been raised and is gone forth before them. And they found not the body. Amen. I want to say to you today, if you go over there to Jerusalem and you look, hallelujah, you won't find the body of Jesus either. Amen. You can go to the tomb of Buddha, the tomb of Confucius. You can go to all these wonderful leaders as they self-proclaim themselves. And every one of them's dead, and you'll find their bodies laying in the cemetery there. But when they came to the place where Jesus had been laid, they, hallelujah, found not his body.
Amen.
That means something to me and you this morning, because we found not his body. I'd like to say, number one, when they looked there in the tomb and found not the body, they did not find shattered promises. Jesus had said, turn with me to the book of John chapter 2. Jesus had said in John chapter 2, verse number 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. Wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. I want to say he'd made him a promise that I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. And I'm going to give my life a ransom for your souls. But it'll be all right, because on the 3rd day, I'm going to be raised again. He said, "I have power to lay it down and power to receive it again." And I'm glad, thank God, that morning when they came there to that cemetery and looked into that empty tomb, they didn't find some broken, some shattered, tattered promises. They found the fulfillment of the promise.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'll be raised again in the resurrection. And when they came there, they found a fulfilled promise that Jesus is alive and well. I want to say praise God this morning. When you and I look into that tomb, we find no longer no shattered promises. Amen. He is alive and well. He is a God of His Word. Now I may make you a promise and break my promise. Maybe meaning to or not meaning to. As a man, I cannot always do the things I want to do or the things I say I can do. But I know one, amen, who's as good as His Word. When He makes you a promise, hallelujah, you can count on it. Now the old devil thought, and all the Pharisees thought, and the Sadducees thought, well, this man's not as good as His Word. But I'm glad the women found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! There are no longer shattered promises, amen. What about John chapter 14 while you're here in John? Not only the promise of His resurrection, but what about the promise of His return? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He has promised us that He's going to come again. And the Bible says, and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's made us a promise that He's going to return for us one day. The devil says these promises cannot be kept. These promises are greater than any man can keep. But I'm glad the one who kept the promise that I'll be raised again on the third day is the same one, amen, that fulfilled that promise. And the same one, hallelujah, that made us the promise of His expected return. And I've got good news for you today. We don't have shattered promises this morning. We don't have the broken Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an empty tomb and a promise to be expected. A hope, thank God, that's most sure and steadfast. As an anchor of the soul, amen. What about Revelations chapter number 20? My friend, we find chapter number 20, bound about verse number 6. Go with me there. Down towards the end of the verse. We find Jesus made a promise of the resurrection. Jesus made a promise of His return. And He's made a promise about His reign. Look with me at the end of verse 6. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. He's made a promise that there'll be 1,000-year reign on earth. A time of peace and a time of bliss. And you and I, hallelujah, as the redeemed, we're going to rule and reign with Him. Hallelujah. Right now He's seated on the right hand of God, waiting for the Father to say, Son, go get My children and rapture them on home. Then after that, 7 years of tribulation. At the end of that, He's going to come back, hallelujah, and going to defeat the devil and the Antichrist and all His armies at the Battle of Armageddon. And you and I are going to come in riding behind Him, and we're going to rule and reign with Him on this earth for 1,000 years. Then after that, the devil will be loose for a little season, and he'll deceive a lot of people, amen. But the Bible says that Jesus will cut them down, and He's going to have that old wicked crowd stand one day at the great white throne judgment. And everyone that's not found their name in the book of life, the Bible says their souls will be sent off, my friend, into the lake of fire. I want you to know this morning, hallelujah, when I got saved and recorded my name in the Lamb's book of life, and He's made you and He's made me a promise and said, if you have Jesus, you have life. I'm glad, thank God, this morning when we look at that empty tomb, we don't find shattered promises over there in that cemetery. Hallelujah. We find a fulfillment of the promises of God, and it wells up hope in me this morning to know that He which has promised us is going to come good on His Word. Amen. Amen. Go back with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 24 again. We'll read it again. The Bible says that they found not the body. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Therefore they did not find shattered promises. Secondly, this morning, they did not find the persecutor shouting. That the promises of Jesus Christ are not true. He could not, would not care about you, and He cannot keep His word. How many times has He caused you and I to doubt? Don't you know that morning, if He could have, He would have. He'd have jumped up, hallelujah, right on that cemetery and said, "Hey, boo, He's not here." But I want you to know, amen, Jesus was not there because He had bound the devil. You go with me to the book of Colossians chapter 2. He bound him up, amen. He defeated him. Preacher, I don't get it. I mean, I still fight the devil today. Oh yeah, he's still loose. He's still running around. He's still up to his old tricks. He ain't saved. He ain't going to get saved. But I want you to know he's a defeated devil today. I mean, he'd love nothing more that resurrection morning to have had the body of Jesus still trapped in that tomb and said, "I told you so. I told you so." And begin to brag and boast about his power to hold Jesus. But the devil don't have power on Jesus. Jesus has spoiled his power. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers. He spoiled the devil, y'all. I mean, he ruined him there that day. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus was triumphant over death, hell, and the devil, and the grave, and the curse. All these things. Jesus was triumphant over all these things. And by simply being raised again, he defeated he that has the power of death. That is the devil. I want to say hallelujah for the morning. When the women went there and found not the body, they did not find a shouting persecutor. They did not find a shouting persecutor. They didn't find the devil bragging and boasting the way he brags and boasts to you and me. Why? Because he had been defeated that morning. He is on the run. Hallelujah. You know what that means for the devil? Just by way of interjection this morning, that means that the curse that God put on him was reinforced. He thought there when Jesus died on the cross that the curse was broken, that it wasn't going to be fulfilled, that he wasn't going to the lake of fire, that his head wasn't going to be bruised. That, my friend, he thought, now I've got the world and I'm in charge of it all. But when Jesus got up and the women found not the body, his curse was not broken, but was reinforced. He is bound again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that. All of his claims had been refuted. He had said Jesus is not the Son of God. He had said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "Oh, he's an imposter. He's a counterfeit. Get rid of him. Don't believe him. Don't serve him. Do your own thing. I'm denying him." But I want you to know this morning, when the women found not the body, all of his claims that the devil had made had been refuted. Ha, 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 he's a liar and the father of it. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. That morning, he found out that the chains were reserved for him still. Hey, man, the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20 that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to send an angel that's got chains, amen, and they're going to bind the devil. You're looking at me funny. Go there and read it. Go, let's read it, Revelation 20. He's going to be bound with a chain, amen. Revelation chapter 20. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The devil thought there that day when Jesus died on the cross. They put the stone in front of that tomb. The devil thought the chains had been broken. They're not reserved for me anymore. But that early, that first Sunday morning, when the women came and looked, and the stone had been rolled away, and they found not the body of Jesus, hallelujah, right then the devil knew that the chains were still reserved for him. Woo! Glory to God. You tell the devil the word of God says so. Amen. Thirdly, this morning, when women found not the body, they did not find shattered promises. They did not find a shouting persecutor in the cemetery that morning. But also they did not find spoiled privileges. Now the Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen. And by that peace with God, you and I have access to Him. I can show you in John chapter number 20, verse number 17 and verse number 18, where that Mary came seeing Jesus now alive. She came and fell at His feet and started to worship Him. But He told her, touch not my feet, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. What was He doing at that point in time? He was taking His blood. And He was going to present it on the mercy seat in glory, that you and I might have access to be saved and call upon His name. The Bible says that we could boldly come before the throne and find grace to help in the time of need. What the Bible teaches us. Now I want you to look with me this morning real quickly, and I'll be done, in the book of Mark, chapter number 16. The book of Mark, chapter number 16. This is a different view, a different look of the story of these women which have come that morning. Look in Mark 16, verse number 6. This is the angel speaking. He saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way. Tell His disciples and Peter. Now underline "and Peter" in my Bible, because that's real important. Now Peter was one of the disciples. When He said tell His disciples, that would have included Peter. But Peter, his name was mentioned specifically. And Peter. Why did that happen? Because Peter had denied Him three times. And on the third time, he began to cuss like an old sailor. The Bible says he looked, and Jesus was looking right at him. Oh, to know that Jesus is looking right at you. Right in the middle of your worst moment. Right in the midst of your sin. And He's caught you. And He's looked right at you with those piercing, loving eyes. You know, He does observe us when we go into sin. He does know what we do and what we say and how we act. Oh, Peter, it broke his heart. He remembered now the words of Jesus. And how Jesus had said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And sure enough, Peter's done that. Upon the look into his eyes of Jesus, the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. He felt like no more a disciple. He felt like he wasn't even saved. He felt like, I'll be the most forgotten about of all of them. I'm ready to give up and my life is over. But the angel says, tell his disciples and Peter. I want to say this morning that you and I, that cemetery, when the lady saw that empty tomb and found not the body, it did not, hallelujah, spoil. We did not, they did not find spoiled privileges. We still have access to the throne of God. And by that empty tomb, we have access to the throne of God. Were it not for His resurrection, Peter would have still been in remorse, would have still been broken and downtrodden and discouraged and defeated. Were it not for the empty tomb, you and I would still be in our sins and on our way to a devil's hell. You and I would be the most defeated and discouraged of all. But they found not the body of Jesus. Therefore, you and I have access. When they came and told Peter that the tomb was empty, the Bible says John and Peter began to run. John got there first and stopped outside. Peter got there second, but he went on in, and he began to look around. And he found on the right side, he found a napkin laying there. Probably the very napkin that was laid over the face of Jesus. And the Bible says it was folded. Well, you know, that's a custom to the Jews. That if you go to someone's house and stay, if you like it there, you take your napkin and you fold it and you leave it like that, saying, I'll come again to your house. I want to say, when he left that napkin there folded, he's saying to you and I that I'm soon going to return for you. And I'm going to take you home to be with me. When Peter saw that, knowing the customs in his heart, woo! He got excited because he knew there was still access for the backslid. Still access for the broken. Still access for the bereaved. Still access for those that are burdened. Oh, Peter went back to the house, scratched his head, didn't understand. Man, Jesus is coming back. I seen his napkin. But where's he at? And there they were that night on Sunday evening. My friend, just before that, these two on the Emmaus Road were out walking, and Jesus appeared to them. I want you to know, somewhere between that room that night, those two walking, Jesus made a personal appearance unto the man named Peter. And I believe right there he forgave him. Hallelujah. Forgave him right then and there. Peter knew. He'd already forgiven. But Peter knew of his forgiveness. Also this morning. Thanks men to God for an empty tomb. An empty grave. Because you and I can know today when we go to God about our sins, he's still willing to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because he's able. He's alive and well. And the privileges we have today have not been spoiled. We still have access to call on him in the time of need, to find that grace and mercy to help us. Hallelujah, this morning, when the ladies went down there to that tomb, they found not the body of Jesus, which means you and I still have privileges with him. You stand with me today. That's the message God's laid on my heart for you today. I wonder, maybe there's somebody here today say, preacher, I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that my promises he's made me have not been shattered. You know, preacher, the devil has tried to jump in my mind and say, what if this ain't real? What if it ain't really going to happen? Why don't you just quit serving God, backslide a little while, and do what you want to? That's what the devil's told you. But today, you know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that Jesus keeps his word. And his promises have not been broken. I'm glad, thanks be unto God. When the old devil comes and tries to brag to you, do you listen? Hey, he's a liar. And the father of it. The devil ain't got nothing to brag about, amen. He's on his way to the lake of fire. And I'm glad my Savior's going to put him there. And I wonder, there might be somebody today. Old devil says, you've got spoiled privileges. Sin in your life, you've backslid, you don't have a church home, nobody cares about you, nobody calls you, nobody concerned. You feel like you're in this thing all by yourself, but if you're redeemed, Jesus is there with you. And I believe today he's told me to tell you, go tell my people, and you, friend, and you, that I still love you, and I'm coming to get you, and take you home to be with me. Your head's bowed, nobody's looking. You girls have come. Just quickly play something this morning, whatever God puts on your heart. That his claims have been refuted and his chains are still reserved. Who needs to come this morning, this old-fashioned altar? You'd mind him as he speaks to your heart. Folks are coming today. You step out. So, oh my, I've been so burdened, so heavy. The devil wants to put doubts in my mind. But I want to remind him of his chains today. I want to remind him that his claims have still been rejected. They've been refuted. You're going to come this morning, friend. You don't have to stand in doubt today. Hallelujah. You don't have to stand questioning this morning. Because the body of Jesus was not found in the grave. Right now it's found on the right hand of God. Seated at his throne, hallelujah, making intercession on our behalf. I wonder today, say someone you need to pray for, a need in your family, your friends. Today you've got access to come if you'd but mind him. You can speak to him today. You tell the devil he's a liar. I'm going to speak to him today because he's speaking to me. And I'm going to respond to his word today.
He's laid something on my heart to do. I'm going to do it. Laid on my heart something to pray about. Now I'm going to pray. You'd mind him this morning, you'd better. Our Father and our God, we do thank you for the privileges that we have this morning through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this morning for needs in this house. God, I thank you for defeating the devil. I thank you for defeating death, hell, and the grave. I thank you for victory that we have today to know that the promises you've made us, never to leave us, never to forsake us, and to come get us and take us home to be with you, those promises are still good. You are as good as your word. And I'm glad today that the devil's still defeated. Oh, how he roars against the church. How he howls against the people of God. But today, Father, I'm glad we can kneel on our knees today and bow our heads before the Son of God, for he ever lives and the devil's been defeated. I pray, God, you'd help us to be reminded of that fact today. Lord, help us to know, God, that the access for the backslid, the access for the burdened, the access for the broken, the access for the bereaved, it is still there for us. You still care for us. And you've told us, Father, that we can cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. God, today I pray for that one that needs the peace of God. I pray for that one that needs the peace of God, which passes all understanding. God, I pray you'd minister to them today the comfort that only the Holy Ghost can bring. Lord, I ask that, God, you'd set us at ease this day and help us to rejoice in you and know that the body of Jesus was not found in the cemetery, but it's found on the throne of the living God. Oh, Lord, we praise you for these things not found in the cemetery that morning. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen and amen.